All right, everyone, thank you so much for being on the call today. I'm going to try to keep this as quick as possible. I just wanted to do a quick training on how we break down closing costs for each type of deal. I can work on making this document even more and more, I don't want to say fluffed up, but I could add as much detail to it as possible because some deals, when you are quoting someone, you have to be very detailed, and I just want everyone to know that is how we are here. We basically explain everything about this loan to the person where it's almost to the point where you're talking them out of the loan. And I don't want to say it like that, but I mean, we just give people such detailed quotes here, and I have to be honest and say I feel it's so underappreciated. I feel it is so underappreciated by borrowers and maybe even some of the IAPs that don't understand, because we spend a lot of time breaking things down to people, and it's the right thing to do. This is a financial transaction that they're moving into. They 100% need to know what are their closing costs or what are their estimated closing costs, and we'll go over all that. To start out the training, I want to say anything about the loan, in terms of the loan amount, the lender's fees, our broker fee, we can 100% break down to people. And that's what most brokers in this business do. That's what they do. I don't think anyone in this business sends out as detailed of quotes as we do. And we have really perfected the way we quote people on all different types of deals over the years. And I'm sure we will continue to do that as other things arise and we move and shift and pivot to make it more sound and compliant for our borrowers out there. But anything that has to do with the loan is really what we are required to break down in terms of loan amount, lender's fees, broker fees. Now, there are a lot of third parties involved in a real estate transaction sometimes, most of the time, especially on a purchase. We always put in our quotes an estimate for title insurance and property insurance, not that we're because we're required to, but because it's, again, the right thing to do. Borrowers need to understand that property insurance typically always has to be paid for 12 months by the day of closing. I'm not sure where they are in their insurance cycle, and I don't always know what insurance costs them for the whole year because we don't ask that question on our ground up, sorry, on our rehab bridge, oh, sorry, on our rehab submission form, and we don't ask anything about insurance when it comes to ground up construction. I don't know what that's going to cost them. But it's something, an estimate we put in there. Next, the estimate, we do say check with your local insurance agent, whoever you use. We always put an estimate for title insurance as well because all of our lenders, if they're going to lend on the property, require a title policy so they know that there's no other liens in front of their now mortgage lien or behind them because a lot of our lenders don't even allow liens behind them either. So we put an estimate for that as well. But in the estimate for title insurance, we always say check with your local closing company, whoever you want to use, because it is the borrower's right to use whoever they want to use. So I just want everyone to be aware of that. Even though a lot of people in this business do not do that, they do not put estimates for property insurance and title insurance. We do, to be fair, to explain to the borrower from day one that you have to pay for these things, obviously. No one's going to put a mortgage on your property and lend on your property if you don't have proof of property insurance. And you would think maybe some of those things are obvious, especially just the way I'm explaining it right now, but they're not. They're not for a lot of people, even very experienced real estate investors. A lot of them have multiple free and clear properties. And if you have a free and clear property with no mortgage, you can do whatever you want with it. You don't have to have insurance on the property. It's probably not a good idea not to have insurance on the property, but you don't have to. It's not required. If you want to buy a property cash, you're not required to get a title policy either. But it's probably a good idea to get a title policy just to make sure no weird liens in the past from the current owner or a $12,000 delinquent water bill or a lawsuit to make sure none of that stuff is going to become your problem. Because if you buy a property cash and you don't get title insurance, and, again, you buy it, you don't check these things out, everything that was that current owner's problem now becomes your problem. So probably worth it to pay the $2,000 to $3,000 for the title policy to make sure you're not owing someone $20,000. But some people don't, and that's just the nature of the business. So let's just run through this real quick. We're starting off with permanent loans. Every single transaction we do here, every single type of commercial real estate deal we do here can be a purchase or a refinance. Any deal we do, permanent, rehab, bridge, ground construction, could be a purchase or a refinance. So I broke this down into the different loan types and then how we quote on a purchase and a refinance, because obviously it's different. On a purchase, you need to bring down money. On a refinance, you don't. You already own the property. So we're going to start off with permanent loans. Purchase, I made these quotes really, really simple for the sake of the calls. Sometimes some things do become more complicated, but this is just the basic information. So on a purchase, example, if someone's purchase price is $500,000, they're only getting a 70% loan amount, which is a loan amount of $350,000. I ran it through just a regular commercial mortgage calculator. I just pulled up online. I just put $500,000 at 8% because that's kind of where our bank alt rates are. They're around the 8% range. And it was $2,568.18. That was the monthly mortgage payment. So we really break stuff up like this. We give them those three things at the top because those are the most important things to notate about the deal. And then we break things down with these bullet points that you'll see. You know, the 30% down money is $150,000. We specify the lender's closing fee, which on this quote is a very low fee, $1,995. Many of our lenders have much higher closing costs than that. This one lender we work with doesn't. That is their only closing fee. And we do work with some lenders, just so everyone is aware, that do have very low closing costs, and they compensate for that in their interest rate. You can basically pick the closing costs you want. Basically, you can pick the closing costs that you want dependent on the interest rate you're going to take. So it's like a catch-22. The lower interest rate you want, the higher closing costs are going to be. The higher interest rate you want, the lower your closing costs are going to be. So we've broken down the lender's closing fee. That's their only closing fee. If the lender has a separate processing fee, we also notate that as well. This lender didn't have that. We obviously always notate our broker points. And actually, a lot of times we put there where it says three broker points. We'll actually put in parentheses, 11 Capital Finance, where the broker, just reiterating, hitting home, we are a mortgage broker. They already know that, but again, just being a little bit redundant. Title insurance estimate, for most of our deals, because we do a lot of small balance deals, and there's nothing wrong with that, we make up for it in volume. We usually just put like $2,000 as an estimate for title insurance. You can see there it does say check with your local closing company. I would say really kind of, and this is just fees I've seen over the years over being involved in hundreds of transactions. Most of the deal, I would say our average loan size here is around $400,000. And most of the title fees I see are in that range, around $2,000 because, our average loan size is around $400,000. But title insurance is kind of a subjective thing as well. I mean, it is regulated state by state. It technically is supposed to be the same fee everywhere you go. But we have a training call in our portal that goes over this too. But, I mean, I have seen title fees drastically change from company to company based on if that person was already a previous borrower and they're coming back. So I have seen that in my career of doing this business. The point is we just put an estimate there so that the person is aware that they have to pay for title insurance because the lender is not going to close their loan unless they do. And then we do say check with your local closing company. Because the $2,000 may not be 100% accurate. We don't know. I'm not a title professional. I don't know what the recording fees are in each and every single state. I don't know those things, but I do know that you do have to pay for that. So again, just making people aware. Property insurance, typically we put around $2,000 as an estimate. If it's a larger loan, sometimes we'll do like maybe three. On permanent financing loans, we do ask, what do you pay monthly for property insurance? So we can actually tally that up and just times it by 12 and tell them, this has to be paid at closing. But what we also say there in that quote, if we do that, we don't know where they are in their insurance policy. We don't know if they've already paid yesterday for 12 months or they paid yesterday for a month. We don't know where they are in their insurance policy. So we just like this quote says, We have an estimate, needs to be paid, and we let them know needs to be paid in full for 12 months day of closing. Reiterate, this is just an estimate. You know, not sure where you are in your insurance billing cycle. We don't know those things until we get into a loan. So all I did was add these things up. I just added up the down money, the lender fee, the broker fee, the $2,000 for title insurance, and the $2,000 for property insurance, and that number comes out to be $166,495. I just want everyone to know none of the math we do here is complicated. I'm telling you, none of the math we do here is complicated at all. I'm probably one of the worst people with math, but when it comes to counting money, it's funny how you get very good at doing that. But nothing we do here is complicated. So all I did was just add that up. Now, one other thing that always comes up in permanent financing loans, and actually in all loans, and we'll get into that later, is all of our lenders will say, okay, this is what you need to bring to closing. But we also have reserve requirement, meaning you need to still have this much, you know, you need to have access to this much money in total, which is more than just the down money and closing costs, because we want to make sure you can meet the next 6 months of principal and interest payments. Whatever the requirement is, sometimes it's 2 months of PITI payments, 3 months, 6 months. Some of our lenders that have higher interest rates, especially in our bank alternate section of our product sheet, don't have any reserve requirements. But again, you're paying a higher interest rate. So, you know, typically our lenders that have lower interest rates have this hefty reserve requirement where you not only have to have the down money and the closing costs, but you also have to have a certain amount of principal and interest payments on hand in order for them to close the loan. And just so everyone's aware, not all of our lenders break this down on their quote to us. They don't do that. We do that, and we take the extra step to do that because we want the borrower to be aware, because who wants to go into a deal and order someone's appraisal and have them pay for money and have them submitting documents and this is a financial transaction for them, and then we can't get through underwriting because the person doesn't actually have enough cash on hand. Nobody wants to do that. We are taking that upon ourselves to do that and answer these questions up front so that this does not become a problem as you go through the loan. So I just want everyone to know that. Most of our lenders, a lot of them issue us very, very simple quotes, something way more simpler than even these couple of breakdowns here, which are still very simple. But we take it upon ourselves to explain these things because we don't want any problems going through the loan. So I broke down the reserve requirement on that. Again, it's different from lender to lender, but all of our quotes do break that down. On the refinance one, refinances are easy to break down because the lender's giving you their loan amount, whatever they're willing to offer. And you just have to minus the closing fees plus whatever debt is on the property, if there is debt on the property. On this instance, there is. This is a refinance cash out transaction, so the loan amount is $350,000. You can see the debt on the property. All I did was I put $350,000 to the calculator. I just minus the debt on the property, the lender fee, our broker fee, an estimate for title insurance, an estimate for property insurance, and that was it. Another thing I should have put in here, and I will revise this document, all appraisals with basically all of our lenders besides maybe one we work with, but let's just say all in general, all appraisals are paid for up front. So we don't add that into your closing costs because that's paid for up front and that gets paid directly to the appraiser. They're the only person in a transaction really that gets paid up front. So in a lot of our quotes, we do notate that, and we're going to go over a quote down this document a little bit where we do, but we always let them know the appraisal needs to be paid for up front. That goes directly to the appraiser. And just so everyone knows, that's why it's not notated in any of the closing costs, because you are paying for it up front. You're not paying for it at closing. One thing to notate on a refinance, even if it's a refinance cash out transaction, a lot of the lenders we work with actually require that the borrower has a certain amount, again, of PITI payments on hand or a certain amount of cash on hand in order to close their loan. And I know that can sound really insane, because basically you're requiring they have cash on hand to give them cash out. I know, it sounds really, really silly, but it does. Some of the lenders we work with are like that. I think that's more of like a secondary lender market thing. We don't work with too many banks that do cash out, but some banks we do work with do allow cash out. And I think the banks are actually a little bit more lenient on that, where they kind of just feel, well, if we're giving them cash out, they don't have to have a reserve requirement. Some of these programs are, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but some of them are. You know, I mean, those lenders do different things than a bank is going to do. But some of them just sometimes they can't make exceptions to get out of their own way. So it's our job here to learn our lenders' requirements, all of them, and to make sure that nothing is going to happen to this file throughout underwriting. And the way we do that, honestly, is just by asking a lot of questions. That is all I've ever done to get loans closed, asking lenders up front, you know, what is your reserve requirement? What is this requirement? What is that requirement? You don't even know to ask these things in this business until it goes wrong on you. Then when it goes wrong on you, you learn, oh my God, I should have asked that up front if they had a requirement like that, a requirement. You would think the lender would just tell you, but they don't. That's not what lenders do. They deal, I guess, with, you know, thousands of people every single day with loans and quotes and stuff. So a lot of times, a lot of the information they give you is very, very, very basic. It does not actually go over all their underwriting requirements. And we did a lender call yesterday with a lender who gave us so much detailed information that was amazing. Most lenders we work with don't do that. They let you kind of find it out the hard way. I don't know why they do that, but it's just how the industry is. But the point is, we try to prevent as much as we possibly can here up front. And that's why the intake questions on our intake forms are the intake questions. There is no question on there. We are asking just to ask. Everyone has to believe that. I would love that form to just be 10 questions, but I've learned over the years it can't be, because here's where this is going to go wrong. Here's where this is going to go wrong. Here's where this is going to go wrong. And that's what we're doing. We're quarterbacking this transaction to make sure these things don't go wrong. You know, and make sure this person's loan gets done. So let's move on to rehab. We do work with one lender very extensively. Their name is Templeview, that does do an upfront draw for a rehab loan. Every other rehab lender we work with besides that does not do an upfront draw. So I gave you a quote from Templeview. That is how we kind of break it down, and there is an upfront draw in their quote, and we'll go over that. And then I gave you like a purchase too. That is another rehab lender we work with that does not do an upfront draw. So let's go over Templeview's purchase one real quick. This is the way I like to break down their quotes. Again, the way they deliver a quote to us is not like this at all. It in no way is like this. It's a little screenshot they take of their quoting system, and it goes over a lot of the things on here. It does go over interest rate, purchase price, rehab cost, after repair value, that's what ARV stands for, current market value. It does go over some of most of the stuff on here. It's just not laid out like this quote is, to where it's someone can look at this and understand what's going on. So let's just run through it. I always like to list the main components about the deal, because that's what rehab deals are based off of. And again, I know I say this on every training, but we quote based off the intake form someone gives us. Everyone has to understand that. We quote based off the intake form someone gives us. We do not verify any of the information is correct. We don't do that, because we're trying to get them to quote ASAP and get them to move forward. If we start asking them for documents to prove these things, we'd probably never get them, and then we'd never be able to issue them a quote, and then we'd never get anyone to move forward. It's very hard sometimes to get documents from people because they're busy. So what happens is we quote like this, and then someone sends us a rehab budget, and the rehab budget isn't for $100,000. It's for $150,000. But that's not what the intake form said. So then the quote slightly changes because they changed something about the deal. And that's just something, again, educating our borrowers. If they, you know, get confused or they get upset about that, they just have to understand, and we have to politely explain, you know, if you change something about your deal, you know, then what you put on the intake form, then something, you know, then the quote is going to change. It's just like an input-output system. So this quote, I always like to notate the loan amount at the very top. The total loan amount is $486,250, and I break it down real simple. That's 75% of the purchase price. That's what PP stands for, and 100% of the rehab. So I notated the purchase price, the rehab cost, current fair market value and the after repair market value. Most of the rehab lenders we work with do not just offer loan terms based on the after repair value. They don't. Their loan terms are based on the as-is value and the after repair value. And the after repair value is only there to cap the loan. Like a lot of our lenders will do 70 to 75% of the ARV. It's only there to limit the loan. It is not there to make the loan amount higher. And I explain that to every single person that I call and quote. Because people see that big ARV cap and they think, well, my loan amount can go up to that. No, it can't. That, you know, that's not how this is all broken down here. You know, we have to explain to them that ARV is only there to cap and to limit your loan amount. It is not there to make it higher in any way, shape, or form. So just want everyone to know that we extensively go over that with people when we call them and break down quotes. So I broke this down, 75% of the purchase price funded at closing, which $386,250. All I did was I put $486,250 in the calculator and times it by 0.75. That's how I came up with that number. Nothing complicated. Then this lender actually does a 15% upfront draw, which is based on 50% of the purchase price or the as-is value of the property, whichever is the lesser. So everyone has to keep in mind, this is how all lenders do it. Any LTV they give you towards a purchase price or anything like that is always based on the purchase price or the appraised as-is value, whichever is the lesser. So everyone has to keep that in mind, whichever is the lesser. It's the key words that everyone leaves out of a quote. But it's this is how it works, and this is how we explain it to people. So I'm doing 15% of the purchase price here because that is less than the as-is value that was stated on our intake form. So that is 15% of 515 is the $77,250. They're going to fund 100% of the rehab budget. I want to see if I put where the loan is capped on here. A lot of times on these quotes, too, I actually do put where the loan amount is capped at. The reason I don't do it sometimes is because the after repair value is $750,000 on this transaction, and if that is a much higher loan amount than the lender just funding what they're going to fund towards the purchase and the rehab, I have to pick and choose what information I give people because I'm not trying to confuse anybody. And it can be very confusing sometimes when you're speaking to someone that's not in this business and you're mentioning LTV and ARV and all this stuff, and they're just like, oh, my God, make it simple. So in this quote, I didn't mention anything about the after repair value because the after repair value is so large on this deal, $750, and that's what they're telling me on their intake form. That's much higher than they're not going to get that. That's only there to cap the loan. So this is why I broke it down the way I broke it down. So you can see, you know, 25% down money because they're only lending 75% of the purchase price. I reiterated the interest rate. This is a 9-month term. The lender does do 6 to 24-month terms as well. I like to let people know that if the lender will adjust the term. Usually I don't always get into that on a quote because it's just a quote, but when I do call them, if they want a longer term and that changes some of the underwriting requirements, like they have to have more money on hand to have a longer term, which is typically the case, I'll go into that then. But there's no point. You have to watch what you give people up front, and if they're okay with the 9-month term, there's no reason to overload them with information, I have learned. So we always on quotes for rehab and ground up construction and even permanent sometimes actually too. Even bridge sometimes too. We always notate what experience this quote is based off of. So you can see that. This quote is based on 3 investment properties sold in the past 3 years and 3 current lease rentals. We always put that in the quote because that is what they put in the intake form and that's why we ask those experience questions. And that's what this quote is based off of. Now what happens when you start processing, you go through a deal with somebody, all of a sudden they can't provide the paperwork for the 3 investment properties they sold, or all of a sudden they tell you, oh, I'm sorry, I was involved in those deals, but I'm not on any paperwork. Well, you know, you probably should have brought that up sooner, but this is why we're doing this, to kind of CYA, you know, let people know we're basing our quotes on this. We do ask on our intake forms, can you provide HUD-1s or settlement statements for the properties you've bought and sold? And sometimes people say yes, sometimes people say no. We pay attention to all these responses very, very, very importantly, so we are accurately quoting them. Because if someone responds and says they can't prove these things with HUD-1s or settlement statements, my quote is going to reflect the fact that you can't prove these because you've just told me that. So then my quote may have been different. It would have been based on no investment properties sold because you said you can't prove them. And if they ask why is it based on no investment properties sold, I would just tell them because you said on the intake form you don't have paperwork to prove this. And everything on a loan has to be proven with paperwork. If you don't have it, it doesn't exist. That's how the lenders work. So 2 points. Points are just based off the total loan amount. That's how it works on every single type of transaction. So you're just going to take $486,250 and times by 0.02. And then you have the lender's points. Same way we obviously figure out broker points. And then I like to break down all of the lender's closing costs that they make me aware of. Now, we've closed the Temple View several times. I know all of their closing costs. They're broken down here. Even with new lenders, I extensively ask them, all of us do that quote, do you have any other closing costs besides your points? We obviously do that on all the lender calls as well. So, I've broken down their lender closing fee. They do take $199 up front at the time of application to run credit and background. They want to make sure those things check out before they go and order an appraisal on behalf of this borrower that this borrower has to pay for. So, we put a estimate there for title insurance, property insurance, we put an estimate. One thing Temple View does, and you also have to note in quotes, they do collect 3 months of interest-only payments at closing. They want them at closing. And then you don't make a mortgage payment with them until month 4. So, if you close with them last day of December, you're not going to make a mortgage payment for January, February, March because you already paid for those at closing. You're not going to make a mortgage payment until January, February, March, April. So your first mortgage payment wouldn't be due until April. So we notate that too. And we notate that even on permanent financing deals and refinances as well because some of our lenders in the perm space do that too. They escrow a certain amount of payments at closing. You're not remaking those payments. If you make the 3 at closing, you're not going to make a payment until month 4. So it's very important to explain that to the borrower. But we always want to let people know that because, that could affect – obviously that's going to affect the cash they have to bring to closing with the purchase, or it's going to affect their cash out if this is a refinance. So you have to notate that. Again, our lenders do not always notate all this stuff in their quotes, but we do because we want people to be aware of how this transaction is going to go down, be very upfront as possible from the very beginning. So all I did on this quote, and I should have color-coded this, I typically color-code Temple View's quotes, and I color-code it where all the closing costs I typically color-code in red, and then the upfront draw typically color-code in blue because you're actually getting credited for that at closing. The lender's going to send, the wire they send is going to include the amount of money towards the purchase price plus your first upfront draw. So you are actually just going to bring less to closing. That's how it works. Obviously you would have had to bring the 25% plus closing costs, but since you're getting that front draw, you're just going to bring a little lesser, which I don't even think is a word, but you're just going to bring less. So what I always explain to people is that is how all the title companies do it when they do the HUD-1 settlement statement. You're getting credited for these things, so they only tell you what you actually have to bring to closing on the HUD. But before every closing, I call people and I explain to them, since you're getting credited for this, you're getting this money at closing for this upfront draw. Whatever the upfront draw is, it happens to be $77,000 in this scenario, $77,250, which is a large sum of money. You have to have that on hand then to complete your first draw, to complete your first phase of the rehab project. You still have to have that. You're just going to use their $77,250 to bring less to closing, but again, in your back pocket, you're going to have that $77,000 so you can complete phase 1 if that's what it's going to cost you. And that's basically it for rehab. That's how the upfront draw works. That's a little bit more complicated to explain to someone because most rehab lenders don't do an upfront draw, and And most rehab quotes are not nearly that complicated, but we do a lot of business with TempleView, so I thought we should really break that down. So purchase two. Here's just like your standard rehab lender's quote on a purchase transaction for a rehab deal. You know, they go over the purchase price, the rehab budget, the after repair value. They are financing 90% of the total project cost. That LTC stands for loan to cost. They go over the loan amount, which obviously closing costs are always based on your loan amount. That's just how it works in this business. They go over your monthly payment, your down payment, origination fees to the lender, broker fees to the broker, which is us. The lender has a processing fee that goes to the lender. So one thing I just wanted to notate on this quote, which this is a good enough quote to just copy and paste. We can just copy and paste this and give this to a borrower because it really goes over everything. Now, there's no estimate for title insurance and property insurance on here. So really, we could have, done those estimates. But lenders in general just assume that people know they have to pay for these things. And people don't all the time. So, again, why we like to go the extra mile. But one thing that's very, very important on this quote that should be highlighted in red, and anything really on a quote that's really important, I do highlight in red, or whoever is quoting highlights. So the cash that they have to come to closing with is $21,898.15. That includes their down payment, their broker fee, their lender fee. That's what their closing costs are associated with the loan, plus the lender's processing fee. But the assets required, you can see, is much higher, $32,779.68. That means the lender wants to see in a bank statement prior to them closing that they have almost $33,000 cash on hand that they're not going to close the loan. It's very, 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 very important to go over the assets required with people on a quote, because if you do not tell them how much money they have to have on hand, not just to bring to closing, but just that the lender requires, or this loan isn't going to close, you're basically setting that poor borrower up for failure if you don't go over that. So that is very, very important. And on rehab deals are very big on this, because most of the rehab lenders we work with do not do upfront draws. So you have to start the work on your own with your own money. So that's why they want to see this extra money, because they want to know that they can start the first draw. They're not trying to lend on a rehab deal that the property's never going to get rehabbed. That's not the point of a rehab loan. It's to get the property rehabbed and for them to sell it or refinance, and it's a short-term, 12-month interest-only thing, and then they want that deal off their books. They're not trying to, they're not trying to own this property or have to go back and forth with the person on rehab because they didn't have enough money to do it. So that's very important. Refinance rehabs get a little bit more complicated because some of these properties have debt on them, some of these properties don't. Refinance rehabs are still based on the as-is value of the property and the ARV value of the property. And I can tell you refinance rehab deals are probably some of the hardest deals to get done, and the reason is because people sometimes start rehabbing the property and say they gut the property out, and it's just like a slate almost. The kitchen's gone, the bathrooms are gone, and now the appraiser has to go and try to appraise, find an as-is comp. And if none of the other properties in that area are being rehabbed, how are they going to find an as-is comp? And what they typically do, what appraisers typically do, is they just totally lowball the as-is value price, I guess, just as a CYA thing. They just totally put that price down because sometimes there isn't anything they can compare it to, and they're just pulling things that are the best comparisons. But if it's not really a match, again, it is really someone's professional opinion of the value of the property. So I did attach two examples. We'll include some of our own examples in here as well and send this out again. But let me just kind of pull up some of these examples. This was a refinance rehab deal that we worked on for a while. You can see one of the quotes is another TempleView quote. We do a lot of rehab deals with them because they do an upfront draw, which is very attractive to real estate investors. But you can see, their quote is still, total loan amount is always at the top. Desired LTV, it's 75% of the as-is value of the property. So in this case, you can see to the far right, the as-is value It was only $15,000, only appraised for $15,000. And the borrower thought it was going to be much higher, but this was a refinance rehab where they totally cleaned the property out. And there were not many as-is comps. There just wasn't there. ARV was 220, but Temple View's offer is not just based on the ARV. Everybody thinks that the ARV is there, like I said earlier, to higher their loan amount. It's not. It's only there to condense it. So your ARV may appraise where the borrower thought the property was going to appraise, and that's wonderful. But if the as-is didn't appraise at all, the deal might still not work. Because if they're only getting 75% of the as-is appraised value and appraised very low, and say there's debt on this property and that doesn't even work out to where they can pay off the debt, that may not work with the borrower. The borrower, nobody on a refinance transaction wants to bring cash to closing. Nobody wants to do that. Some people do end up doing that because they have no choice and because the deal still works for them and they have to and they want to move forward. But I'm not going to get too much into the refinance rehabs because I want to wrap up these quotes and get to questions. But you can see Temple Views. I did attach another lender we work with, another rehab lender we work with there. This rehab lender actually does not even do an as-is value on their appraisal, which is what happened. The property, the as-is value, did not appraise, and I had to make a decision, were we going to keep going forward with Temple View or were we not, and we just couldn't. The deal didn't make sense with them, so I had to change the deal to this other lender who could just lend off the ARV and could actually offer a higher loan amount in total. We don't work with too many rehab lenders that just lend off the ARV, and this is actually probably the only one, just so everyone's aware. But this can show you, you know, what we do in the transaction and the quarterbacking, and when things go wrong, we have to come up with solutions. The only way we make money here is by coming up with solutions. That's it. If you cannot think of a solution, the deal is not going to close. So those are the refinance rehabs. Just everyone, I just want to notate, they are very hard to get done just because of that as-is value. If that appraises for nothing, and a lot of times it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the as-is appraises fine. But a lot of times it doesn't because the borrower has cleared out the property, done demo to the property, and the appraiser just cannot find an as-is comp. It can be very detrimental to the loan. Bridge, I'm not going to go over this too quickly I am going to go over it quickly because it works the same as perm. It works the same as permanent loans. Bridge loans are just for someone who needs a quick close, like 2 weeks on any type of property. It could be 1-4 unit, commercial property. One thing I should have notated on here, and I will change this, is that most bridge transactions only come at a max 65% LTV. We do have some lenders that do go up to 75. We've done many lender calls with them, but those are for much larger loan amounts. They want loan amounts typically $2 million plus. So you're talking about much higher net worth properties, probably much higher net worth individuals if they're trying to, you know, purchase a property for so much money. So that's basically it. On a purchase, still on bridge, you're still just breaking up the down money, the lender's closing costs, the broker points, an estimate for title, an estimate for property insurance, and you still want to go over the reserve requirement. All temporary financing lenders have reserve requirements. That is 100% a must. So everyone thinks in this business, oh, it's hard money, it's hard money, or they're not going to have any requirements, it's hard money, it doesn't matter, that's why they're charging a big interest rate and point. No, that's not true. It's not true. All those lenders have requirements, and you have to comply with all of the requirements. You're not going to get through underwriting. And your deal is going to die. Refinance, same exact thing. You're just adding up all that stuff. One thing I should have put in that refinance is that even on a refinance sometimes, even, again, with perm, same with bridge, they have a reserve requirement. All of our lenders have reserve requirements, and what I mean by that is they want the borrower to have a certain amount of cash on hand in order to close the deal. They all do. Some of our lenders, though, don't have reserve requirements on certain deals, but the borrower pays for that and makes up for that in the interest rate. They're not offering very, very low interest rate. So this is why every question on the intake form is so, so important that it's answered properly. And this is why it's so, so important that you understand the lender's programs when you're placing something, because we're solving someone's problem here. You know, they may not have a lot of cash on hand, And a lot of times in this business, I know we did a training call on this last week, saying the title of the training call is "The Customer is Wrong." But I just want to reiterate, I have never, ever, ever given someone a quote here where I met everything they wanted, meaning everyone always wants the lowest interest rate, everyone always wants the lowest points, everyone always wants the lowest closing costs, the lowest down payment. I get it. You know, I would want all those things too if I was a real estate investor. Why would you not? But it's just not possible. That's not how the business works. You know, you can give them options where here's lower closing costs but a higher interest rate, here's a lower interest rate but it's more closing costs. It's always a give and take in this business. That's how it works. And people have to understand that. And a lot of times when I call people to explain quotes with them, I do a lot of educating. I do a lot of explaining that this is how it works. It's not a business where you can just call and scream and demand things. This is how this works. And here's the give and take, and here's what I can give you. This doesn't work for you. I have this other option here, but again, interest rate might be higher. It's a give and take. So I just want everyone to understand on this call, in this program, nobody is ever going to get everything they want. It just does not work like that. Once in a while it does, but it's very, very, very rare that that ever, ever, ever pans out like that. Ground up construction can technically be, I guess, a purchase plus ground up construction if you don't own the land already, or a refinance ground up construction if you already own the land. Some of the ground up construction lenders we work with require that, most of them actually that we work with require that the borrower already owns the land and free and clear, just so everyone's aware. Some of them don't. Some of our lenders can certainly handle the purchase of the lot and the ground up construction, but in general, and I'm just speaking in general, and I apologize for doing that all the time, but we work with so many different lenders, I have to speak in general terms sometimes. Most of our ground-up construction lenders want the land already owned and free and clear as well. That's another big point. Not being said we can't handle a ground-up construction loan if this land is not free and clear, we just might have to take it to another lender that allows that. So we like to break ground-up construction loan closing costs. I used to always think we're like the most complicated to break down, but they're really not. They're really not. If the lender is going to credit the person, most of our ground-up construction lenders have what they call an equity requirement, and meaning they want the borrower to have contributed this amount of money towards the total project cost, whatever that is, 15%, 25%, 30%, whatever it is. It's based on their credit and it's based on their experience. How many ground-up deals have they done in a certain amount of time that the lender counts as experience? So we always have to go over that equity requirement, which in this quote, Marty gave this quote, he is going over. It's in the third paragraph, he says, based on the numbers below, meaning based on the experience they told us they've had, they are at a 15% equity requirement for that lender. And that's how we have to break down their quote. This is Builders Finance. They have all different equity requirements for all different experience levels. So you really have to hone in on that experience, and that's what this quote is based on. So this gentleman already paid for the lot. He paid $67,500 for it. So due to his experience, he has already contributed 15% of the equity requirement towards the total project cost of the deal. He's already done that. And this is how most of our ground up construction quotes go down, just so everyone's aware, and this is why I decided to use this one. Sometimes they could obviously be different if it was the purchase of a lot. You know, this one, he's not purchasing a lot. Obviously, they have a different equity requirement. It could be different, but this is how most of them pan out. So, you know, we've gone over that, you know, he paid $67,500 for the lot. He still needs $245,000 for construction of this property. He's probably constructing an SFR, which is what most of the builders we work with are constructing. That just stands for single family residence. So his total project cost is $312,500. All we did was just added up the construction cost plus what he paid for the lot, and that's how we got to that number. So the as-is completed value on an intake form, the borrower is telling us the property should be worth $500,000 when it's completed. We won't know, obviously, until the appraisal comes back. Again, we're merely just quoting on the information they are giving us, doing all this back and forth to try to get them a direct lender quote just off the information they've given us If this works for them, then we will start collecting documents. If this doesn't work for them, we will try to find another solution, of course. A lot of people are very reasonable and very, very good negotiators. Some people aren't. Some people, just anything you give them is not going to work for them, and that's the borrower that's not ever going to get their deal done. But that's just kind of how the quoting process works. So because he's met his equity requirement, and he's already financed 15% of the total project cost because he owns the land free and clear, the lender can finance 100% of the construction. Now, all ground-up construction is done in draws, just like rehab deals, and it's ground-up construction, though, is always done in arrears, meaning they have to start the money, the construction with their own money, and the lender will reimburse them in phases. We do not have a ground-up construction lender that does upfront draws. I wish we did. I have not seen any ground-up construction lenders out there, and we've talked to dozens of them that will do that. I'd love to find one because that'd be a very, very attractive program to offer a real estate investor, but we don't have any ground-up construction lenders at the time that will do draws upfront. It's just, I guess it's just a more riskier transaction for them because it's literally just a plot of land, and you're building something totally ground up that, you know, no property exists there at all. So lenders just don't do that. They don't, and even rehab lenders don't really do upfront draws. We just work with one that does. So really the only thing that the borrower is actually going to bring to closing is just with this quote, with Builder's Finance quote, is actually just the broker points and actually just whatever title insurance is going to cost them. The reason is because the lender will allow the borrower to defer their 2 points. They also have a $500 closing fee they allow the borrower to defer. They can even defer the interest-only payments if they want, but again, they're going to pay for them on the sale. So they can do that. This gentleman decided to take that route, which is why we broke down his quote this way. If he decided not to take that route, the lender points and the lender closing fee would have been included in here. On our ground of construction quotes, we like to let people know what the lender requires for builder's risk insurance, because whoever is going to be the builder has to have insurance and has to have, you know, general liability insurance as well. So a lot of times the builder is not actually our borrower. It's someone they're hiring. Sometimes it is the borrower. If the borrower is the GC, it could really be either way. It doesn't matter. But we just like to let them know what the insurance requirements are up front on ground-up construction, because every lender is kind of particular about that. And again, it's going to be an added cost to them. I mean, if they are the GC and they're the borrower, I mean, if they are the builder, I'm sorry, and they are the borrower, then they should obviously understand that they need to have these type of insurance coverages. But, you know, again, we're just kind of overdoing it to make sure everyone's on the same page. So that's it. I don't really know what these things cost people. I don't know what builder's risk insurance costs people or general liability costs people. I'm not sure, but we do put that in there. I see more estimates in general for property insurance because the majority of the deals that we do, that's what's required. There's, you know, property insurance is required on the property, of course. There's not always liability insurance that comes into play and builder's risk insurance. And even on rehab deals, our lenders just require the borrower, for the most part, to just have basic cost replacement property insurance. They don't even a lot of times check up on the liability insurance, so it just doesn't come into play. So all I did here was I just added up the broker points and the title fees, and that's roughly what he's bringing to closing. Again, we don't know what the title insurance on the land is going to cost, but I think $1,000 is a really good estimate. It's just land, and he already owns it, so hopefully they got a title policy when they bought it, so it shouldn't be anything too crazy. So in general, that's how we break down closing costs on every single different type of deal. So let me just open up to see if anyone has any questions.
Megan?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Stu. I have a question. When you were going over the, I think it's the rehab purchase number one, the amount that would need to be brought to closing, I've got a number that doesn't look right. It's 7113, 218, and 72 cents. What should that number be?
Is that Temple View's quote or Flip Funding's quote?
Yes, I think it's Temple View's. It's the one where the closing cost is $36,468. But then there's another number here, which I don't understand.
So Temple View's quotes are a little, whenever I send someone, going into a deal with Temple View, they don't provide us a very detailed quote. The one that we have on the spreadsheet is very detailed, but as going through the deal, just so you know, like after the appraisal comes back, that's when they do start giving us quotes that are much more detailed.
Okay, well, this one's like $7 million for that they would have to bring to the closing. It's on rehab purchase number one, and it was the $486,250. If you'll go to the next page, right after where it says closing is $36,468.72, there's a number that starts the next paragraph, and it says, it looks like $7,113,218.72.
What? Are you looking on the Temple View quote that I sent out for the refinancing?
The one I'm looking at is the first down payment.
Yes, it's the refinance one. It says, it's after refinance. It says purchase one. And you told us that this was Temple
purchase one. And it's purchase one under rehab, and then you go to the second page, and it looks like it says they have to bring
$7,113,218.72. Okay, anyway, delete that seven. I think the seven was a typo.
Oh, so it should be 100.
Document, yeah.
What is that number? What should that number be?
Let me grab a calculator. Hold on, give me 1 second. All I'm going to do, and I should have color-coded this, and I'm sorry. The reason I do color-code
no,
it
I
is...
No, I just... Yes. I didn't know if it was just on what I got.
No, I accidentally sent that out to everyone like that. I'm sorry, guys. Delete that 7. It should only be 113,218.
Okay, that's what
I'm sorry,
I thought.
I put an extra 7 in front of there. But let's just do the math real quick. Okay, so the loan that they're getting at closing... Well, here's what I do. Here's what I do, and this would have been much better if I color-coded this. I will revise this and send this out. I'm sorry. I've been going back and forth with an attorney all day for a deal we closed last week that we still have not gotten the wire on. So it's been taking up a lot of my day, and I should have presented this much better to everybody. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to start adding up the closing costs. 3 months closing. Okay. All right. So what I like to do is I actually like to highlight all their closing costs in red, and I apologize, I should have done that, because it makes it so much easier to explain to somebody. So everything from the very bottom, before that large number, you can see the last bullet point is 3 months of interest-only payments, but that total cost on this transaction is about $36,468. So I'm going to highlight that in red. Yep, I'm going to highlight the property insurance for $2,500 in red. I'm going to highlight the title insurance, broker points, $9,725. You got this little $89 fee, $125 fee, the closing cost.
Right.
I'm going to highlight
title insurance.
I'm going to highlight the $800 in red because the $199, the $199 is already paid up front, so they're only going to pay $800 at closing. So two lender points. And then the down money. The down money is $128,750.
Correct.
So all those fees I highlighted in red. Now, the fee that should be highlighted in blue, that's the credit, is the 15% upfront draw, which is
$77,250. Right.
Let's highlight that in blue. So I'm just going to pull up a calculator and just start adding these things up. $36,468. 72 plus 2,500, which is 5,000, plus 9,724, plus 89, plus 125, plus 9,725 plus the down money is 128,750. So that's a grand total of, let me go here, $189,882.72. That's actually what they should have brought to closing. But because they're actually getting credited up front
for
rehab work on the lender's dime, I have to minus now $77,250.
Right, and that's where you get the 113,218.
Yeah, that number's wrong. It's 112.
Oh, okay.
It's 112,632.72.
Hmm.
That's actually what they're going to be bringing to closing. So I'm sorry about that, guys. I will advise you.
So it's red minus blue gives you the net.
Yeah, and that's why I actually color quote all of our Temple View quotes and anyone here that quotes does, just because they are a little bit more detailed than your average quote. And the upfront draw really throws people for a loop. I mean, it's very attractive.
Yeah.
But they have to understand what they're being credited for and what they're coming to closing with. Yeah.
That's after you revive them when they've fallen on the floor.
should I add something that says the $77,250 is what you should have on hand to begin your rehabs with?
I don't put that. I'm trying to make the quote as straightforward as possible, the goal is to not confuse someone. Now, you know, it just depends how much experience they have in the real estate business, and it just depends how much experience they have borrowing money. And there's a lot of people in this business that are very, very, very experienced real estate investors.
Yeah, it's true.
Very experienced when you talk to them on the phone. You probably know Dana. But they're not very experienced at borrowing money. You know, it's a whole different process. They usually do deals. And that's okay. That's okay. When I first got into this business, I could barely break down anything. You know, so I understand. It's complicated. But what I do when I call them, and I think the highlighting in blue and blue for the credit of the upfront draw and then the other closing costs in red is very helpful, and I should have sent this out that way. I do that on purpose so they can see here's all your closing costs and here's what you're being credited for as an upfront draw closing. I do let them know when I call them about a Temple View quote that, look, this upfront draw does allow you to bring less to closing, but what I do actually on the quotes and I should have put this on here too. I actually put, when I total up after the 112,632 at the bottom that they need to actually bring, and you can see I even put here, I add up all the numbers in red and minus the upfront draw in blue, but I just didn't color code it for you guys. I actually put the full number below that you have to have this amount of money on hand to get the deal done. They still have to have $189,882.72 to get the deal done.
Right.
That doesn't change. Just because they're getting an upfront draw does not change the amount of money they need to have on hand to get the deal done. Mm-hmm. All it does is it's lessening.
Tells them how much the first draw is that they're going to get credited for. So
it's lessening the amount of money they need to bring to closing.
Right. Exactly.
That's what it's doing. Because it would be, and I always explain to people like this. Look, you could bring the whole $189,000, let's just call it $190,000 and round up, but it's silly because the title company is just going to hand you $77,250 back. That's what they're going to do. So why cash more of your own funds and bring that to closing when the title company is literally just going to hand it back to you because on the HUD it shows up as a credit?
That's right.
But I do let people know. I let them know. And I'm just so everyone is aware, any Temple View transaction we do, anyone that is quarterbacking this loan has been thoroughly trained to tell them you have to have this amount of money on hand, and just because you're able to bring less to closing does not mean, you know, so they're bringing less to closing, they still need to, if that's what they're going to do, and just so you know, that is the way to do it, they still need to start their first draw. Then they need to have that $77,250 on hand to start their first draw. It would be very important on this quote to notate, here is the overall asset requirement you have to have to get this deal done, which is basically the $190,000. But due to the fact that you are getting an upfront draw, you only need to bring about $112,632 to closing.
To the table. Yep.
Exactly. Go
ahead. No, I was talking, you were just going over the ground up construction. Was there an attachment? I didn't see one on what you were talking about, or were you just talking offhand on the ground-up construction?
I put like a quote on the sheet.
I didn't
and I don't
see
know
it.
Most people got the second sheet that I sent out. This goes straight down. I don't know what happened when I was creating this Word document. All of a sudden, it like broke up into like several different pages that I could see all at once, and I wasn't trying to do that because it's confusing to look at. Like, how do you know what is page one, page two, page three? You know?
Right.
If you get a chance.
Oh, is this the one that says "Dear Jim" or "Good afternoon"? Jim,
yeah.
Is that the one? Oh, okay. Okay,
so
I have it.
In ground construction, this is kind of how we break down quotes to people when, and I'm sure you've been copied on some of your borrowers where we're doing that.
Yeah.
But we just, you know, like to be professional and, you know,
sure.
say hi,
no.
introduce ourselves. And then, you know, with the way this lender works, Builders Finance, you know, Marty made that actually its own paragraph to go over their interest rate, because a lot of our lenders have a set interest rate, or their interest rate is determined by your credit, your experience, stuff like that. But Builders
right.
Finance,
mm-hmm.
everyone gets the same interest rate, and that's how it works. It doesn't matter what your experience or credit is. It starts at 4.99, and then every month you have the loan with them, it goes up by 0.5%, but it's capped at 7.99. So we always
okay.
want to notate that in our quote, because it's much different than the way other lenders do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, most of the time, like, say your interest rate is, you know, 10% for 12 months, it's always 10%. It doesn't change.
Right.
Well, with Builders Finance, it does. You know, so you have to tell
right.
people that, because you don't want them to get upset when the loan closes and then it changes. They're going to be upset, you know, rightfully so.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, did you have any other questions at all still?
No, just those two.
Okay. Yeah, and I will break this down a little better. I'm going to put some refinance rehab into here, too, of just our own quotes, just so people can see. Dana, did you have any questions at all?
No, this really helped me, though. I want to say to you that I like the level of transparency that's practiced in these quotes, and I just didn't know how to do it. I just hadn't
seen
it done.
No, it's not a big deal. You can take these things and just copy and paste, and I'm going to make this document a lot better. I apologize. I meant to make it amazing. I was just a little rushed today. Because
it is amazing. I'm amazed.
It is amazing. Yeah, it is
no,
good. Yeah.
I can make this so much better. Like, I'm not feeling very proud of myself right now.
Well, you know, get off the couch, quit eating the bonbons, and get to work.
That's right.
I wanted this training to really kind of show people that we really go above and beyond to quote people. And what I could have even done, and what I can do when I revise this document, is I can send you, all of you out, some of the quotes that we get from lenders. And so you can see what we get and then what we turn it into. We don't nearly get stuff like this detailed at all.
That was the challenge for me.
I know. And just so you know, that is not your fault. It is a challenge for everybody. And that was my biggest challenge, one of my biggest challenges in this business, is articulating these things, you know, and properly explaining them and properly explaining third-party reports and stuff like that. That's some of the hardest things to do. And just so you know, Dana, that's not your fault. The lenders don't break that down. They just assume, again, they assume because they're not part of a training program and their job is not to train brokers. They don't care. You either get it or you don't, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And if you don't
What's the most important thing, I think, Megan, that you've done on the call is differentiated assets needed to get the loan done and what you have to bring to the closing table. And that really makes it transparent. And the borrower, I would hope, is smart enough to figure out, he says, whoa, so we don't get any surprises. I know exactly what I got to do. So.
So, you know what? You would think that.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, like, I think we just try to make this as transparent as possible. And if anyone has any advice, or I'm always finding better ways to word and explain things. And that's kind of part of us morphing in this business. But you would be surprised. I have quoted people in this business for years and years and years and years and years, and obviously I've gotten better at doing it over the years because I've made a lot of mistakes. And you'd be surprised that people sometimes just want to be people, and that's okay. We deal with the general public, but You know, I had someone like get like really, really crazy and nasty with me last week, and he was like, well, you didn't break this down, you didn't do that, you didn't do that. And the whole entire time I was explaining to him, here's what you need to bring to closing, and here's the assets required of the loan, because he kept sending me a bank statement. It was a purchase transaction, so we always ask for a bank statement, because I need to know that
right.
you have the money, because, one, we're working on this on a contingency basis. I'm not asking you for an upfront retainer like an accountant or a lawyer would, you know,
right.
even though we are a professional services company. So I need to know that you can close. Two, I'm trying to actually protect you, because you're going to go and you're going to have to pay for the appraisal, and sometimes certain lenders want other little side inspections here and there, very rarely, but sometimes they do up front. And I want to make sure before you spend that money doing that, that we can close and we're not going to have any problems. And I went back and forth with this gentleman a lot last week, and he kept sending me a bank statement for the cash due at closing, like in this quote, the $22,000 basically, $21,898. And I said to him so many times, sir, thank you for this, but I need to know that you have a bank, you have the money for all the assets, like all the assets required, the $32,000, because if you don't have that, they're not going to close. Why would I force you
right.
into this loan? Not that I'm not trying to do a loan, because I would jump on a loan in a second. Why would I try to force you into this if you don't have the assets required to close? You're just going to pay for an appraisal. We're not going to be able to close, and then you're going to call me and be very angry. You know?
Yeah.
And he,
I do have another question when you get a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to go into your question, Dana. But then he did call me very angry, and he was like, well, you never went over that? And I was like, yes, I did. I did from day one. You know, this is
he can't say I didn't listen to you. He has to say you didn't do something.
And again,
he only heard what he wanted to hear.
Exactly. And I just want to bring up the point. Let's move on to Dana's questions, because I do want people to understand that here, you know. I think the IEP that was involved in the transaction was taken off guard. and I think the IEP actually felt we did do something wrong. And we didn't. We did explain to him from the very beginning the cash due at closing is very different from the assets required. And when I give
right.
quotes to people like that, I actually highlight that in red. And when I call people to go over it, I'm very clear. Like, this is what you have to bring to closing, but this is how much money you actually have to have on hand for them to close. And I'm not sure any other better way to word that. Like, I feel like I'm being very straightforward, but you're always going to deal with those people sometimes that, you know, whatever you do is still going to be wrong.
Well, it's not what they want to hear, but they've got to hear it. So.
I just want to I'm not trying to have you pay for an appraisal and then we can't get to closing. I don't want you to waste your money. You know, I want to make sure that you can close. So, anyways, I want to move on from it, but I just want everyone to know if you're a new IAP on this phone call, we got a lot of people on this training call today. Thank you for everyone for being on. There is going to be situations where you are put in where it looks like we did something wrong. And that is why I did the training call last week, The Customer is Wrong. That was the title of the training call. And that's why I did that, because we're not ever usually wrong, just so everyone knows. Now, I'm not going to blatantly tell the borrower and be rude to them and tell them they're wrong. They didn't pay attention. You should open your eyes, you know. That would be weird. But, you know, you do have to sometimes find professional ways to word things and let people know we did go over that with you. You know, I'm sorry if there was a misunderstanding, but sometimes, a lot of the times, if someone thinks we did something wrong, they're just simply not paying attention. And it's been repeated
right.
like 10 times, and they're still not hearing you. So, Dana, I know you had a question.
I just had an epiphany. But when I first came here, I'd been doing loans and placing loans with lenders for nearly 3 decades. And
mm-hmm.
so I was firmly entrenched in this advocacy for the client.
Oh, no.
But that doesn't work when I'm not placing the loan. I was advocating with the lenders and probing for exceptions. But I think I did that with the loans department. And that was probably a pain in the butt, to be gentle about
it. Yes, now that you're in the mix, and now that you have to deal with it, it's all everyone's biggest frustration in this business, and probably in any business, but I see it every single day in this business, is just a lack of communication. Like, people are not understanding what's being explained to them. They're not understanding requirements, and that's why we do go above and beyond to try to explain requirements from day one. And like I started off the training call, maybe to the point where we're talking them out of the loan, you know, because most people don't go over all these things up front, and most people in real estate transactions just assume if the borrower has decided to purchase real estate in this state, they should find out what all the rules and regulations are of that state, you know? And I've been involved in transactions, you know, where, I mean, I've learned everything in this business the hard way because there is no school to be a commercial broker. You know, I learned so many times the hard way. In Illinois and New York, you have to be represented by an attorney on closing. I learned that so many times the hard way. I didn't know going into transactions and how many, you know, eventually it comes up when you're dealing with the closing company and the deal is getting, you know, close to closing. And then I had people, you know, email me, like, why are you scamming me? Why do I need an attorney? It's like, those are the state laws. All the states, you know? But, yeah, you know what?
Right.
That is very, very classic in this business. It is to, like, blame the lender or the person issuing the quote or the things why it changes. And if there's anything I can try to do in this business to try to maybe reverse that thinking, most and quotes change, obviously, because properties don't appraise for as-is an ARV and as-is values on appraisals, and that's not something we can control. We're not the appraiser, you know? But the loan terms are based off of that. But then loan terms also change because someone couldn't verify their experience that we put on the quote, or someone's credit was not where they said it was. You know, we don't run anyone's credit here just to issue them a quote. And I've had borrowers, I have been through almost everything in this business, but I'm sure I'll be through more. All the time, you know, when someone's quote changes, what I should have went over in this training, too, is how many times we issue someone a quote. So we give them a quote up front based on the intake form. Then basically we get the lender's loan application from the borrower after they sign a fee agreement and state they're going to move forward. Then the lender runs their credit, and their quote changes again based on what their mid-FICO score is. So that conversation
right.
is always, just so you know, a little confrontational with a borrower, because I always email it to them, and then I call them as well so I can go over it with them on the phone that, you know, hey, here is your new quote before we go and put your appraisal request in or the lender does on your behalf. Here is how your quote has changed now that your credit score came back at 600, not 680. And everybody wants to blame you that the credit score is what it is. But I just tell people, you know, I don't have any control over that. We don't run credit here. We're not going to run someone's credit just to issue them a simple quote. It's a quote, you know. It would cost the company $30 every single time to run somebody's credit just to give them a quote, and that would be the silliest thing I've ever spent money on here. So I'm not going to do that. Second of all, it would be a hard pull, and there's no reason for us to run their credit when none of our lenders will accept credit reports ran by us. They need their own credit report.
Right.
So why would we spend money on something that they don't even accept? That would just be silly. So when the lenders run their credit, lenders use a credit reporting system that is nothing like the rest of the earth has access to. That's what I always tell people. It is. It's something totally different. You know, everyone uses like Credit Karma and these, you know, some of their credit cards maybe give them FICO scores and stuff like that. But the way lenders pull credit is through these other unique systems, portals, and it's not the same credit scores that borrowers have access to. It never is. So the quote changes, and people will always ask me, well, you know, you pulled my credit and you brought down my credit score. And I'm like, no, I didn't pull your credit because we don't pull credit here. And I explained to them the two reasons that we don't pull credit here and why. It would cost the company money. We don't do that to issue a simple quote. And the lender's not going to accept our credit report anyway, so they pull credit. And that form that you filled out on the lender's application that says they can pull your credit that you signed was that they could pull your credit, not us. So then it changes. But that is a confrontational sometimes thing to have, and you just have to nicely explain to someone that, you know, the lender pulled your credit. Here's where the score is. You know, it is what it is. A lot of times the mortgage rates will show up, and that's why we do ask on our intake form, do you have any recent mortgage rates? We ask one question on there that basically goes over every credit thing that it could have ever happened to you in the past. We need to know because it helps us place, because a lot of our lenders are okay with some of these credit issues, but they have to be within a certain time frame. Like, you can't have any mortgage rates in the past 12 months, or sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes it's 6 months, whatever the requirement is. So if I know this, if this person answers the question accurately and I know they had a mortgage late in this amount of time, I know not even to waste my time with that lender. It's not going to work out. But then they get a second quote then, and then they get another quote once the appraisal comes back. They get another quote, and then a lot of times they even will get a fourth or a fifth quote, and that's actually based off of their proof of experience. They have to send in like their HUD-1s, settlement statements from past deals they've done to prove the experience. A lot of times people will say on our intake form, you know, they've done 10 fix and flips in the past years or whatever the number is, but then they can't, and then they answer yes, that they have documents to prove these things, and then they don't. They can't find them. So trying to be a problem solver, I always say to people, well, what was the title company you closed with? If you give me their contact information, I'll call them. I'll hunt the paperwork down for you. I don't know who the title company is. You know, it's like, okay, well, yeah. I'm more than happy to call anybody you need me to call. That's what we do here. We quarterback deals for you. But if you can't point me in the right direction, I obviously don't know who to call, you know. So then sometimes
do you ever, Megan, do you ever do a quote and put subject to a lot of these things so that when it does change that – you know, forewarned is forearmed, you know. So I just think by letting them know it is subject to any change in credit, appraisal, proof of experience, and just kind of a disclaimer.
You're
I don't
right.
know how and often you're running into that, but I just...
It what happens all the time, just so you know.
Yeah.
we could certainly do that, And just so you know, on some quotes we do that. If one of us takes an intake form and we're talking to someone and they're like really unsure, like sometimes you can tell in someone's voice what they're unsure of, mm-hmm. you know. And a lot of times, sometimes when we ask people what's your mid FICO score, some people are very confident and some people are like not sure. And some people just say, hey, I am not sure, you know, I don't know. And I'm like, well,
that's
what
right.
do you think?
I try to train my team to say, you know, to do the three qualifying questions and tell them, you know, before a lender wants to know about your deal, they want to know a little bit about you. They're going to want to know your credit history, your experience, and your credit score. So when was the last time you saw your credit history, your experience, and your cash on hand? So when was the last time you saw your credit score, Joe? And he usually, they answer that question. They say 2 weeks or a month or a year. And then, well, then I go into, well, what do you think it is? What was it the last time you saw it? And I can get a gauge for how well that might stand up.
So, Dana, well, I do the same thing. When I talk to a borrower like that and they're not sure, like they tell me the same thing. Like I haven't checked my credit in like years. I'm like, ah. So I'll issue them the quote based off of what they think their mid-score is, but I do sometimes put on the quote, you know, if your credit score comes back different, this quote will change. You know, and Stu, I think what you're saying is a really good idea. I'm not trying
Based
to talk.
On.
Yeah, like I guess there's this happy medium balance where I'm trying to give someone a quote, because when you give someone a direct lender quote, first of all, our product sheet is a guide. It's a very, very detailed guide that I know nobody wants to spend time with because it's way too long. But it's a very, very detailed guide. But a direct lender quote is like we directly took, you know, the intake form to lender. We're doing the back and forth with them. We're answering their questions. And this lender has actually said, yes, you know, I'm going to do this. Here's what I'm willing to do based on the intake information you've given me. Sometimes I have gone to get quotes from lenders from our intake forms, and I literally had a lender tell me one time, we don't want to do this deal because we don't like what the roof is made out of. And I was like, are you serious? They don't want to do it. So I was like, all right, fine, next lender. I just notated that in our CRM. But, you know, it's a direct quote. It is the lender's good faith of what they're willing to do based off the information you've given us. So we give these quotes to people because it entices them to move forward because we have provided them something. So I'm just trying to find a happy balance where giving them enough information to entice them to move forward, but not talk them out of doing the deal. You know, like if I tell them everything is subject to, they might not want to move forward. You know, it might be like too risky for them, which that's how real estate transactions are. They're all risk. And just so everyone knows on this phone, our lenders don't actually approve any of these loans, like finally approve any of these loans, until typically like 2 to 3 days before closing, sometimes one day before closing. So the whole entire time, you know, someone is pre-approved, meaning we've given someone a quote based off of this, this, and this. But none of the lenders we work with, their underwriting department doesn't actually review all these documents and approve the loan until like 2 days before closing. And that's how it works. And we don't tell the borrowers that because it's a very scary thing to tell somebody who has put up lots of money on a real estate transaction for appraisals. We're closing a loan very soon with one of TJ's borrowers for a gentleman who's doing a very large blanket loan with us, and he put up $6,000 for appraisals on all these properties. I'm not going to call him and tell him, hey, you put up $6,000 for all these properties and, you know, your loan's actually not finally approved. He would probably have a heart attack, you know, like rightfully so. But just from our experience with closing with all these different lenders and from going through the ringer with them and from really learning the hard way how they view deals and their underwriting requirements and stuff, I can see by the documents, this is either going to go through and they're going to approve this or this isn't, you know. And not that I would ever talk anybody out of the deal, but if I start seeing from their documents that, like, I already know this isn't going to work in underwriting, they're going to rip this apart because I've already been down that road, I have to tell the borrower that. And I have to say, look, this isn't going to work out. The last thing I want to close a million loans this year as much as you possibly can, but the last thing I ever want to do is force someone into an appraisal and it doesn't work out. And that is typically how this business is done. Most brokers have been taught, and Chris was taught that way. Once you get that appraisal money, you got them. You know, but that's not really fair, you know? So, sorry to be long-winded, but does anyone else have any questions about quoting or anything? All right. Stu, do you have any other questions at all?
No. This is a good call.
Okay. I know good we went call. Over. I'm sorry, guys. Dana, do you have any other questions at all I can answer?
You know, I had a question, but I have forgotten it, and I'm sure I'll text it to you.
Just let me know. I'm going to redo this.
Email
one.
You.
I'm going to redo this a little bit. What I gave everyone is still a good thing to go off of. And, Dana, this is still good
Absolutely.
For you to use, like, with quoting.
Thank you. Definitely.
Stuff. Yeah,
I appreciate it so much.
I can make this a little. Yeah. I can make this more detailed. I can make this better. And you know, a lot of this stuff can just be copied and pasted. One thing I just want to say is for all the IFPs on the phone, this was just a training to go over breaking down closing costs and what the intake team does with your borrowers. I don't want this training to be overwhelming to anybody because you do not have to break down closing costs to people. You don't even have to listen to this training. It's not a core requirement or anything like that. You know, a lot of times people make this business more complicated than it is. And you will meet people at networking events and stuff that will ask you all the time, what are my closing costs going to be? Don't worry about that. Just tell them, I just need to get some intake information from you. And the intake department will let you give you a good faith estimate of what your closing costs will be. Please put all the questions on us. That is why we're here. That is why we're here as your team to support you. If someone is asking you something that you don't know, don't try to answer it. Just let them know, I just need to get some basic intake information from you on the intake form, as long as they're in a purchase and sales agreement or it's a refinance transaction, meaning they already own the property. And intake will get you that quote, and they will also answer all your questions. Don't try to overcomplicate this. It's not your job. All your job is to do is to go out there and find someone that has raised their hand that needs money. You don't have to answer any questions about interest rate, closing costs, what type of, like, none of that is your problem, you know? Let it be the intake team's problem. So, guys, thank you, ladies, gentlemen. Thank you, everyone, for being on this call. I will redo this and send this out. But if anyone has any questions, just send them into Loans, and we will get those questions answered for you as well. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you.
Great. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you guys. Yeah. Have a great day.
You too.
Oops.